Hi, this is Jenny Chamberlain, and welcome to my Southern Utah Housing Podcast. This season, we're talking about attainable housing. Today, I'm super excited to be interviewing Krista Longhurst from Habitat for Humanity. When I was thinking about this season and thinking about affordable housing, I just was really interested in talking to people who are really on the ground as far as attainable housing projects. And Habitat for Humanity, I think, always comes first to my mind because you just have that name awareness. You guys are work hard, obviously, because we've all heard of you. So welcome, Krista. Thank you for coming. And just to start, I'd love to hear a little bit about, so you're the executive director, right, Habitat for Humanity in Southern Utah. So tell me a little bit about what you do and then some of what Habitat does as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, Jenny, for having me. I'm excited to be here. Mm-hmm. So I have been working at Habitat for Humanity for about 9 years now. I love it. I eat, sleep, and breathe affordable housing. So this is what I do. We have been in Southern Utah for 25 years. This is actually our 25th anniversary this year. Pretty excited about that. And we are a worldwide brand. So we build in every country in the world. And we have ReStores all across the United States as well that help support our mission, which is pretty fantastic. First and foremost, we are a nonprofit that advocates for and builds affordable housing. So, and we truly do both. So we, at state, local, federal levels, we advocate for the need for affordable housing. We advocate for really the American dream of being a homeowner. And then we also build locally. Mm-hmm. So we fundraise locally, we build locally. We have built 25 houses. So we build about a house per year. A lot of that's due to the nature of Southern Utah. There's not a ton of land that's available for us. But we build affordably and we put Habitat homeowners in these houses and they truly have an affordable house. So we, it doesn't matter necessarily what it costs us to build a house. What our homeowners pay is 30% of their income at the time of getting the house. And then there's no interest on that either. We're actually the loan holders. We hold the mortgage for their house. And so it's truly affordable. It takes, you know, what a normal mortgage would be and cuts it in half for people. And that's, it's an amazing opportunity. Our homeowners fall, when they become homeowners, they fall between 30 to 80% of our local area median income. So they are low income families. But this gives them the chance, and this is the chance that everyone should have, of going back to school.
So the air conditioner.
It's the air conditioner.
Oh, sorry.
But it gives someone the chance of going back to school or, you know, being able to better their lives and have the time and that they can spend at home with their children and take that time and truly make their lives better so that they're not having to worry about the roof over their head. They know that's going to be there. And that's really what we do. And that's an amazing, it's an amazing feeling to be able to help people that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So what do people have to do to get, like, do you have a waiting list? Do you have an application process if someone were interested in trying to get a Habitat home?
So it is an application process and we do have kind of a waiting list. It's not like a chronological order waiting list. Everyone has an equal chance. But it is an application process and we do base it off of need first and foremost. But we're also looking for someone to have the ability to repay the mortgage. And so we want a history of employment and a history of being able to pay your bills. And then we look at your willingness to partner with us as well. So all of our homeowners do sweat equity on their own house. They put their blood, sweat, and tears into their own house. They do about 250 hours per adult. And it really makes it, you know, that that's their home. They helped build it. So it's, and we have a family selection committee that helps us make these decisions too, because it's a terribly hard decision. We are just kind of in the tail end of what we call family selection right now to find the family for our next house. We had about 35 people apply for one house. And truly the need this year was astounding and incredibly, incredibly emotional. I'm going to get emotional about it now. But the amount of need out there, the amount of people that need this kind of help, There's a lot.
It's huge.
It's huge.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. And we're happy to be able to do what we can, but this is where advocating comes in. This is where we're, mm-hmm. If we can't build a house for everybody, we advocate that the city, that the state, that they're making a difference for people, yeah. that we have workforce housing, that we have affordable housing, mm-hmm. because otherwise your kids, your grandkids can't stay here. They can't yeah. afford to. So that's why we advocate for it. But yeah, it's an application process, and yeah. we take it very seriously, and we go to the people's house, we meet them, we meet their kids, we meet the whole family, and we look at their current living situations, and then our board gets to make the terribly hard vote of who's going to get the house.
But that sounds brutal.
It is. But it's also amazing for that one.
For
that
the one that gets to choose. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that is yeah. really neat. Yeah. So is it's kind of anticipated that they'll just stay in the house indefinitely? Yeah. Like, I'm just curious about, like, if their income goes up, are they... Yeah. Does their amount of payment go up, or do they just keep that flat rate until
they're... Yeah, it's a 30-year fixed mortgage.
Nice. And then they own it?
Yeah, and then they own it. Mm-hmm. The way that we keep it kind of in the affordable sphere, mm-hmm. because we don't want somebody to take advantage of the situation and just, you know, sell the house immediately or anything yeah. like that. So the way that we do that is we have... the equity in the mm-hmm. house goes up by a percentage each year. Mm-hmm. And so it's not until year 11 that they have 100% of the equity in the house.
Okay.
And that way, you know, we can try to keep it in mm-hmm. an affordable place longer. And most of our homeowners stay. They don't.
Yeah.
It's such a great opportunity for them that mm-hmm. unless they are forced to move out of state or for a reason, that mm-hmm. most of them stay. So.
Yeah, I know our house, we're going to stay in it because we bought it at the right time.
Right.
So, you know, we're just pretty well stuck there too because yep. we don't want to be out trying to buy in this the current
100%.
Market.
It'd yeah.
be too hard.
It's hard. It's hard out there.
Yeah, it is. It's a challenge.
Yep.
All right. So it sounds like, so if you're building one house a year, I'm sure there are other ways that you're influencing attainable housing in the area. So can you tell us more about some of the other things that you do in addition to, so you're providing one home, so that's a contribution to the actual literal stock, but you also do other things about attainable housing.
We do. We have a pretty large program that's a repairs program too, mm-hmm. Where we help people stay in their homes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's elderly people, disabled people. We also work with a lot of veterans, a lot of single moms that just can't afford to or have the skills to fix things mm-hmm. in their house to make it so that they can stay in that safe longer. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of repairs projects. It works similar to our mortgage in that all of our Habitat homeowners pay a mortgage, and mm-hmm. that mortgage goes back into a revolving fund to build more houses.
Okay.
So when we do a repairs project, that money, we do all of the... Oh, there goes the AC. we do all of the labor for free, mm-hmm. and then we try to use products from our ReStore if possible, but if mm-hmm. we have to pay for any materials or anything, then that's a loan from Habitat, and the people that need the repairs done pay it back over time.
Okay.
We really try our best to make it incredibly affordable for them, mm-hmm. And then that money goes into a fund so that we can help more people.
Okay, and yeah. do you have your own employees that do that, or is mm-hmm. that a situation where, like, local builders volunteer for you, or?
Yeah, it's both. We have our construction manager, who's mm-hmm. Our general contractor. He's fantastic. He's the one that builds our house and does our repair projects. Mm-hmm. And then we have volunteers, and
oh, cool.
it's volunteers from all walks of life. You know, it's like 70% of our houses are built with volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, we have our weekday crew. We have amazing people that show up every week. And then we have large projects. We do sponsored builds, things like that. But we have a lot of local builders. We have a lot of corporations. We have a lot of, like, businesses that bring out their team to do a team building day to help mm-hmm. build. We have a lot of volunteers from Utah Tech and SUU as well. Like, we have the most amazing volunteers, I think. I was the volunteer coordinator for a long time, and it was my favorite job at Habitat, mm-hmm. probably. Like, being able to work with people that are just selflessly giving their time,
mm-hmm.
oh, it changes your
life. It, like,
it
keeps
really
your
does.
Hope in
yeah.
humanity,
oh,
I bet.
Oh, it really does.
So it sounds like you have pretty good community support
in
our
county. Yeah, we do. We have... Like I had said, we have our ReStore here as well,
mm-hmm.
And we thrive off volunteers that come help us, but also the people that really, truly care about our mission, that help donate here, they shop here, and it's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my husband is a regular patron. he loves the Restore. So you have good community support. What challenges does Habitat face? What do you think are some of the harder things you guys deal with?
Right now, probably one of the bigger things that we're struggling with, on the last build we did, we struggled a lot with like supply chain shortages, and it was definitely the most expensive build we've ever done. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that some of that's evened out a little bit, but even like getting subcontractors to come help us with things, it can sometimes be hard. We have our vendors that we use every single time, and they're fantastic, and they donate, and they're amazing. But when one retires, it's hard to find
somebody. Hard to replace.
Yeah. So I know like on this next house, we're really looking for someone to help us out with some flooring. And then I believe we're also looking for, don't quote me on this. I think we're looking for someone to help with our HVAC on it as well. So those are some smaller things. Bigger stuff, we're building on a lot in Hurricane, and that's the last lot that we own right now. Oh. So we don't know what we're going to be able to do next. We're really trying to work with the cities, trying to work with some local developers to see what we can do, because it's just out of our price range to buy a lot right now.
Yeah.
$150,000
is just not doable.
Yeah, it's not doable. You know, if that's what we have to do, it's what we have to do. But, you know, we could really use some help there. And then our Restore needs to move. And that's a huge challenge we have right now. We're looking at a year deadline from now that we need to have a place to move to. Mm-hmm. And so we could use some help with that, too. If you know of any place that would suit us, please reach out, because that's a tough
one. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a hard one in the current market. So are there things that you can think of that our community at large could do to support you better?
You know, like I said, we have a fantastic community, but come volunteer. Come see what it's all about. Come help us out. Our volunteers become our donors, because once you get here and once you see what we're doing and the people we're helping, it changes you, and you become a lifetime Habitat supporter.
A believer.
which we love.
I often think it takes someone who really sees the vision, then they get serious about really supporting things. So, so what are some things, and it sounds like you've alluded a little bit to the property costs. What makes our situation as a county unique in terms of housing affordability and shortages?
You know, I don't know that we're super unique, because affordable housing is a nationwide crisis.
Yeah.
It's really a worldwide crisis at this point, too, but it is really a nationwide crisis. And we have it bad, but a lot of other places do as well. Yeah. I think that what makes us unique is that, at least for the last 5 years, we've been ranked in the top 10 fastest growing counties. So growth is happening. Like, this is, and we're not quite keeping pace with it. You know, growth is happening in the $1 million homes and over the $500,000 homes. And we're not building affordable housing. And we're not taking care of the people that are our workforce. We're not taking care of housing for nurses, for first responders, for our teachers, that they cannot afford to live here. We're not just talking about, you know, a McDonald's worker. We're talking about the people that are going to save your life at the ER can't find a
skilled
house.
Skilled
workers cannot find a house here. So that's a huge problem. And that's something that it's not going to be if we deal with that, it's a win. We have to. And for the first time, probably in my years of doing this, I have finally seen that start to happen. So we're on the Housing Action Coalition.
Yeah.
The cities, the counties are finally starting to sit up and pay attention. You know, our state legislatures, they're finally starting to say, okay, yes, we need to do something about this. We need to take this serious. And I think that's fantastic. I think that that's such a huge change. For years, it just felt like swimming upstream and no one listened.
Yeah.
And now it's finally come to this head of we have to do something. And so it's really exciting to be at this place where, like, you know, we're already posed to spring into action to help
build
affordable
housing. I've been ready to tell you this my whole life. I'm ready for this moment.
Exactly. And now people are listening.
Oh, that's great. I love that. I was looking at the most interesting graphic a couple days ago, and it was, it showed like, and I think it was for Seattle or something, but it showed like the rent for a certain size of home. And then it showed like the skill levels. It was like, this one would take a doctor and a lawyer. Mm. This one could take a chef and a waiter. And this one was like, like the skill levels versus the rents versus the, I was feeling so bad. One of my students was telling me today, he's late for class very regularly, and he came and apologized, and he's like, I'm sorry I'm so late, I have to work until 2 o'clock every night, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you should get a different job so you can focus on your education. And he said, I have to pay $3,000 a month in rent, and so I have to work this much. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't know what to tell you, because
you
still need to get the skills so you can pay the bills.
that's just a tough situation here. Yeah, a lot of stories we hear are that, you know, people are working two or three jobs just to pay their rent. And, you know, and at this point, they're priced out of mortgages, too. And, you know, it used to always be that, oh, you'd save some money if you were able to get a house.
Yeah.
Now it's the same. And it just keeps going up.
Yeah. And there's just a huge mismatch between our adjusted median income and our median home price. There's just that gap.
Yep.
It's huge.
Yep. I think last I checked, so September numbers went down just a little bit, but the last in August, you would have to make 140% of the area median income to be able to afford the average home price.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, the AMI this year, I think, I don't have my stat in front of me, but it's like $83,000 or $84,000 a year.
That's close.
I think the mortgage on that is in the 400s, and our median home price is in the high fives. Mm-hmm. So, super, super hard. Yep. So what do you see as solutions for housing long term in Washington County? It sounds like you're seeing a little bit of a sea change in politics, which would probably help.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it has to happen. And so I think it will happen. I think that we will start to see incremental change. I think that we will start to see some density housing built, not high density, but, you know, duplexes and townhouses that are affordable for people. I think we'll see a lot more of that built that's not vacation rental, because that's what we get a lot of right now.
It's
nightly or vacation rental when they're those townhouse. So I think that we'll see that. I think we'll see workforce housing. I think that it's come to a point now that the hospital's going to build their own housing because they can't get housing.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Wow. It's long-term plan, but, you know, and I think that will keep happening. I think the university will follow. I think that our manufacturing will follow, because that's a good place to start, you know, to have housing for their workforce. And it can be entry-level homes, and then, you know, they can move up. And and I think Tech Ridge is seeing kind of the same idea of that they're going to have to provide their own housing if they want to move talent here.
And do they have housing up on Tech Ridge? It seems they kind of had that in their concept, which was a cool idea to have it designed from the beginning.
It is. And it's also mixed in too, which is nice. So there's all levels. There's apartments, there's houses, there's townhouses. I think that it's fantastic. It's a fantastic idea. And I'm excited that they are doing it, because I think they'll set a great precedence for a lot of manufacturers coming in. And so I think it will happen. In the meantime, it's slow to happen. So talking to your elected representatives, telling them how important it is for affordable housing, that you want your family to be able to stay here. That's huge.
Yeah. And you and I were just in a Housing Action Coalition meeting yesterday or a couple days ago. And they were talking about how one of our local mayors had said, we are starting to realize that this is not about them. It's about us. Yeah. And I was like, I feel like that's so great. Like people are starting to understand, like, 'cause I just think about, I have four kids. love them so much, but I don't necessarily want to, I want them to be able to spread their wings and fly eventually. And yeah. Right now I don't see how they could do that with like the current wages being offered. So,
yeah, I was so happy to hear that mayor said that because
it
has been that. It has been not in my backyard. It is, it's them that needs housing. No, it's not. It's us and it's your family. You know, if you were lucky to buy a house.
Yeah. I remember sitting in a meeting with one of our brokers at my office one time, and he said, how many of you have lived in an apartment? Raise your hand. And like everybody had. So, you know, we always think it's them, but really it is. It's all of us go through periods of our life where more dense housing would really suit us.
Yeah.
And we just don't have it here. So,
And a lot of people do want to rent, but they don't want to rent for the prices that we have. But,
right.
You know, there's a difference between renters and homeowners. And we need to be able to take care of both of them.
Yeah, for sure. So what keeps your fire burning to keep working on this? Because I know, like, you see some of the challenges. What is it that keeps you motivated?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like hitting your head against a brick wall every day. But you got to look for the bright stuff. And and honestly, working with our homeowners, helping them build their house, you know, I've always said that my job is so unique because I can be, you know, in a boardroom one day and the next day I can be out swinging a hammer next to somebody. And I love that. I love being able to help in that physical, tangible way. But being able to hand them their keys when the house is done, you know, working with their kids, like that is so amazing. Yeah. And then honestly, our volunteers are just fantastic. You know, they show up every day and that's, they don't have to and they do. And that's amazing. So those things, those are the reasons I keep going. Those wins.
Awesome. Do you have any good stories to tell?
Oh, I have so many.
Like, let's hear one or two to wrap it up.
So we have a homeowner. They've been in their home for, almost 7 years now at this point. Before that, and they have a large family. They they have 8 kids, some adopted, some are theirs, but just the most loving, kind, wonderful family. And they had just bounced around from rental to rental, and you know, this landlord decided to sell, and this one, you know, raised their rent, and just a constant struggle. And with all of those kids at that point, I think they had 6 kids. With all of those kids moving from different school districts, they were all struggling in school, all of them. We, you know, built them a house that fit them. They stayed in the same school district. They made friends with their neighbors. They grew a community around it. Their oldest, I have such a soft spot in my heart for him. He was 12 when we started, and he was doing terrible in school, just terrible. And he got into, you know, a consistent program, and he flourished. He got A's. He did so amazing in school. He joined the football team. He excelled at football. And he got drafted to BYU.
Just he recently. Did? Oh, yeah. That's so
and
great.
And he's going to the NFL. I know he's going to the NFL. He's amazing. It. But their whole family is just so fantastic. And that's all they needed. They just needed that hand up. It's not a handout. They needed a chance to be able to thrive.
To be stable.
Not just survive. They needed that stability, and they got it from, you know, Habitat being able to help them in that one step, and that changed their entire lives. And
that is so great. Yeah. I love hearing stories like that. And I can only imagine what it's like for people who have unstable housing situations. You know, we have a wide variety of people in our Housing Action Coalition, and we've been kind of gathering feedback for an event we're getting ready for, and a lot of people in the health sector are talking about even your health outcomes are impacted by your housing situation. So and you know, the educational aspect, that's a really great illustration of that. So.
Yeah. And also the stress that must have taken off their parents' shoulders to finally get to a place where their kids could thrive in school and not have to worry about where they were going to sleep the next night.
And there's some critical theory out there that kind of supports the idea that, like, if you can create stability in one thing, it will have a networking effect. Like, it's going to help their health. It's going to help their relationships, their social, emotional, like all these different things will be helped just by this one physical thing. It helps them. So
yeah, that's why we do it.
Yeah. Well, I think what you do is awesome. And I'm so grateful for you taking time to let me interview you today. Yeah. Do you have anything else to add for my mom and the other three people that listen?
This is fantastic. You know, come into our ReStore, come shop, come donate, volunteer with us, you know, share our message, talk to your elected officials, talk about affordable housing. That's the only way we're going to solve this is if we all talk about it.
Yeah. If someone did want to volunteer, do they just go look on your website? Do you have an email list? Like, how would they stay apprised of that information?
Yeah, the website is probably the easiest way. And if you have a group, you can put it in there as well. Our director of operations will just then contact you and set up a day and figure out when you can come volunteer.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again for being on the podcast today.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks again for listening to the Southern Utah Real Estate Podcast with Jenny Chamberlain. And if you are interested in volunteering or donating or in otherwise interfacing with Habitat for Humanity Southern Utah, their website is habitatswu.org. So it's short for Habitat Southwestern Utah.org. So if you want to check them out, head on over to their website, and I know that they would appreciate volunteers and donations and any help you can give them. Thank you for listening to the Southern Utah Real Estate Podcast with Jenny Chamberlain. I hope you'll think about subscribing and give the podcast a review if you found it valuable. If you have feedback or ideas to make this podcast better, check out my website, jennychamberlain.com, and leave me a message there.